B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A 30-year-old Florida man is facing charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon after neighbors overheard him threatening to kill another person with kindness.
He was going to kill someone with kindness.
Yeah, now Brian Stewart of Milton, Florida, allegedly cut his neighbor with a machete-style knife that has the word kindness written on the blade.
He doesn't get it, does he?
This was not long after the unnamed victim, together with another neighbor, came to Stewart's house due to the yelling and banging they heard at the residence. Loud noises at Stewart's residence had been bothering neighbors all day. At around midnight, the victim heard the suspect telling another person in the house that he was planning to, I'm going to kill you with kindness.
And then I'm going to blow your head off with charity.
Neighbors were similarly concerned because a woman and a child were also inside the house, which prompted two of them to approach the residence and find out what was going on. As further noted, Stewart allegedly reacted to his neighbor's arrival by greeting them with the knife pointed upward. The police report also indicated the victim stepped in front of the other neighbor and tried to block Stewart's knife attack. This resulted in a half-inch cut on the victim's left hand. By the way, he had to be tased.
Of course he did.
To get him under control. He is in the county jail with a bond set at $20,000.
Well, when you go to the trouble of naming your weapons...
Yeah.
You're all in.
So here's a follow-up story, a disturbing story. It was back in September of last year that Paul Anthony Menchaca of Gilbert, Arizona, was arrested at his home for pretending to have Down syndrome and posing as a woman hiring caretakers to bathe and change her adult son's diapers.
Yeah.
So this was, let me see, I think it was his mom?
I think it was his mom, yeah.
The first victim told police that she was hired by a woman called Amy to bathe and change the diapers of her son who had Down syndrome over the summer last year. A second and third victim who knew each other as well as the first victim took over the caretaker duties in July of last year. And all three victims confirmed Menchaca would become aroused when they bathed him. A fourth victim has recently come forward to tell a very similar story. Yeah, confirming that.
How loathsome.
She was also hired under the belief that a mother was paying her to bathe her and change her special needs son. The fourth victim story lined up with the other three victims and also reportedly happened during the same time frame. The latest victim reported her encounter with the Arizona man after hearing about the other allegations against him. His first trial is coming up on January 15th. So another person. How messed up is that?
So the charge is they were hiring under false pretenses?
Or I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, part of it, I would imagine. So, by the way, according to the first victim, there was a point in time when she became suspicious of Menchaca and made the decision to follow him back to his home after he had been dropped off by a different caregiver, where this time she decided to knock on the door, met his parents, learned that he had been lying about having Down syndrome.
Dear God!
In order to trick female caregivers into bathing him, changing him, and providing other basic caregiving needs for him. That's messed up. Multiple reports of a Bigfoot with glowing red eyes in the North Carolina town of Moxville have been explained, and it turns out the callers weren't imagining things. Animal Services revealed in a Friday Facebook post that the creature seen standing in a forested area is an 8-foot wooden statue of Bigfoot and not the real thing.
I love it.
The county's post said, if you're traveling this road at night, please be advised that the eyes appear to glow. If you see this phenomenon, you do not need to call animal control to report seeing Bigfoot, Sasquatch, or any other large creature. Thank you. The statue's eyes are embedded with red glass marbles, which are reflecting in the headlights of passing cars. The department has had multiple calls about the statue, all at night, from people who believed that they were seeing the legendary creature believed to be living deeply in forested areas.
I love that. There are souvenir shops around those places out in Seattle that will sell large sort of snowshoes that have the Bigfoot imprints on them. For the snow and all that. Yep. You know, they really love that stuff.
Yep. A Utah teenager may face a reckless driving charge after trying to complete the Bird Box Challenge on the highway while driving.
Okie dokie.
Yep. On Monday, a 17-year-old girl was driving near Interstate 15. The teen and the 16-year-old passenger decided to try the Bird Box Challenge when participants blindfold themselves to see if they can do everyday tasks. Well, the driver pulled a beanie over her eyes and kept driving. Shortly after, the teen overcorrected, skidded into the eastbound lane. She hit another car and a light pole and a sound wall, Fortunately, no one was injured in the crash. Could have killed somebody.
She lost the Bird Box challenge.
Yeah. Police are screening a reckless driving charge with the city attorney's office.
It's just amazing. I love the warning that Netflix itself issued that began with, "We can't believe we're having to tell you this."
Yeah.
But don't do this.
A Florida police dog got an overdose reversal medication on Wednesday after he actually sniffed up drugs on a passenger boarding a cruise ship.
Oh, man.
Jake, a golden retriever with the Brevard County Sheriff's Office, experienced seizure-like symptoms and lost motor skills as he detected the drugs on someone about to board the Norwegian Epic cruise ship. And Jake was given Narcan. Because officials weren't sure what was causing the reaction, and it fixed the dog up.
Is that wild?
Yeah, the passenger allegedly had drugs, charged with possessing a controlled substance without a prescription after deputies...
What happened?
...found that he had a sedative and other prescription drugs.
Was I sniffing someone's ass?
As well as amphetamine and ecstasy.
Oh, Jesus.
A spokesperson said Jake should not suffer any long-term effects from the Narcan episode and will return to work. And then one last story, and we will wrap it up. Let's end with this. Panties and bras flew out of a car being chased by police at speeds of 100 miles per hour in northern Indiana. Police stopped 34-year-old Holly Sansone on suspicion of shoplifting from a Kohl's store. Police said Sansone shrugged and said, "I gotta go." And then she led officers in a high-speed chase.
"I gotta go."
Yeah. I guess she just ran out of there and took off. Sansone's car reached speeds of nearly 100 miles an hour.
I really have to go.
As she almost struck other vehicles, all the while throwing stolen bras and panties out of the window. The chase ended when her car tires were shredded by spikes police laid across the roadway. Sansone was arrested and on charges of resisting law enforcement, theft, and reckless driving. Police recovered four bras, 14 pairs of panties, two candles, and some air freshener refills, all valued at $400.
It's the makings of a good weekend.
And $45.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
The parents of a man whose body had been decomposing for 38 days inside a supportive living facility are suing the nonprofit owner, its former director, and several employees for negligence and improper handling of a body. Yvonne Kettler Walls.
Now, wait a second. What's your proof?
Said that the decomposing body. She felt compelled to file the suit on behalf of her late son, 27-year-old Rayolik Walls, after a state investigation into Hudson Mohawk Recovery Center and its staff concluded that neglect had occurred, but no one. It held no one accountable in a meaningful way. Rayolik first checked into the Recovery Center's residential program for men in November 2017 after completing a treatment program for drug addiction. On December 3rd, he spoke with his family, but when no one had heard from him 6 days later, his aunt visited the facility. A staff member told her that Rayolik had actually left several days earlier. Okay, so the family became worried. They filed a missing persons report. They began searching all over for him to no avail. And on January 11th, more than a month later, they learned the truth. He had never left the facility. A pest control worker entered his room and found his body on the bed. He'd been there the entire time.
No one was tending to him.
Dead and decomposing. Oh.
Sweet mother of God.
The condition of the body made it difficult for medical examiners to determine the cause of death. Toxicology tests found no traces of illicit drugs in his system. It's believed that his heart stopped.
Listen, we have something to tell you, and it's actually funny when you hear. I mean, the absurdity of it is bound to at least get a chuckle.
Oh, my God.
We forgot about him.
So this guy died of natural causes, and they never went in his room.
But when I tell you the stink, you're not smiling.
To this day, Wall says she doesn't know how long her son's body could have been gone undetected or how it could have happened for so long.
There's no reason for him to have passed away.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
It sounds like he passed away from neglect.
What? No. He died probably of a natural cause, and then they just never went in to check on him. He wasn't sick or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
It was a drug treatment program.
I see.
He's recovering from that.
All right. Well, then everything works out.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Oh, you're right.
They should have gone and checked on the guy for going out.
Occasionally. I think the rule at any place like this is check on the patients once every 6 months.
The family is seeking unspecified damages in the case.
Wow.
David Kalish was considering renting out his 400-square-foot apartment from that was behind his home. As an Airbnb, when his friend Troy Good mentioned that his daughter's cats needed a place to stay as they weren't allowed in her college dorm room. The result, Good agreed to pay Kalish to rent the apartment for the two kittens named Tina and Louise.
I love this.
The cost is $1,500 a month.
$1,500 a month for two cats.
And Kalish does feed, and he feed them, and he plays with them as well.
Somebody's got some disposable income.
Homelessness advocacy groups are saying that the story is funny, but that it does kind of highlight the tremendous inequity in the area, as more than 4,300 people in San Jose are without a home. But the guy's paying rent, $1,500 for two cats to live in an apartment.
I can't talk. I have no grounds to stand on here.
But eventually, the daughter is going to get the cats, or she might even move in there. I'm not really sure. A blind woman was told to get her effing dog off a bus by a passenger who didn't believe that guide dogs could be any other color than yellow.
It's not a guide dog. That's not yellow.
That's what this woman thought. Megan Taylor was on the bus with her guide dog, Rowley, when the unnamed woman approached her and said, "Why is there an effing dog on the bus? Get it off." Well, when Megan tried to politely explain that Rowley was an assistance dog, she claimed that the woman called her a liar.
Nice try, bitch.
Because guide dogs are yellow Labradors and your dog is black. She said, "I tried to explain to her that guide dogs and assistance dogs can be any color and don't have to be Labradors, although Rowley is a Labrador." She told me I was wrong, she said. "I decided at this point there was nothing that I could say to educate this woman and that it wasn't worth my time.
Other than just give the kill command.
I instead chose to ignore her while she continued to talk nonsense."
I mean, come on, it's not bad enough. You got to, you know, you bring the dog around and all that stuff to negotiate through your life. I mean, it's a wonderful friendship and so on and so forth, but you got to defend her right to have a guide dog.
And the blind person is explaining color.
Color, right?
Yeah.
She said the incident on Monday was not the first time that she's been abused on public transportation. It has left her anxious to go on the bus again. She said, "I don't think I've ever had a stress-free trip on public transport, and that's why I'm so nervous when using it now." Rowley helps Megan on a day-to-day basis and can even phone for help if Megan passes out. So apparently this woman believes it all. Guide dogs have to be yellow.
I think she needs to get a guide Rottweiler.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.